Welcome to the Extra. I'd like to thank and welcome to the show Chuck Broerman, who is your El Paso County clerk and recorder. And thanks so much for coming, because we do have a lot to talk about, not just in terms of the elections, for which we are all so focused on and have been so much in the news, but also because the El Paso County clerk and recorder's office was one of those offices that dealt with the coronavirus closures and the crisis, and how you were able to keep processes running. So many of those processes are important to the citizens of this county. So Chuck, thank you for calling in. And let's talk about how you have expanded now some of the in-person services that El Paso County Clerk and Recorder's Office offers.
Well, thank you, Shannon. Thank you for having us. It has been a challenging set of months for many of us, and motor vehicle and elections is one such activity that has been affected also. So, you know, for the first 6 weeks of the COVID response, we were doing stuff, doing transactions by phone and email, and people were dropping off transactions, and we would, once we completed, call them back. We were doing a lot of back office stuff. Starting May 1st, we started opening up to customers in a limited way by appointments. We had plexiglass panels that have been put up between our customers and between each of our staff members. We're wearing masks. We have hand sanitizing stations at our individual intake stations and also at our greeter station when people come in. We've been asking customers to wear a mask if they could please do so. It's not a requirement. What we do want to keep them safe and our staff safe so that we continue to be able to deliver these transactions. We expanded our phone bank in a significant way, we're working through doing transactions on the phone. While not the most efficient way, it is another way for citizens who are still a little, has some anxiousness about getting out, that they can do that. Our phone bank is at 520-6240. The wait times can be a little long. We ask people's patience on when they call in, because it does take a bit of time to do those transactions on the phone, more time than if they were in person and the like. But we're doing a lot of things like that and online services to help meet that need and do it in a safe way.
And I like that you're recognizing that there may be a backlog out there, not just caused by the closures, but also people hesitant to, really get in the swing of things. It's taken a while for some people to really want to get out and about. And so you're opening on Saturdays at a couple of locations. Tell us about that.
Yes. So we've always historically been open on Saturdays at our union and research office. We're the only place in the state that offers those services, motor vehicle and driver's license services. We would go from 8 in the morning to 1 p.m., but we expanded that to 5 p.m. because we wanted that social distancing. We didn't want that crowd. So, you know, we do all our motor vehicle transactions by appointments. We ask people to go to EPC Drives, that stands for El Paso County Drives.com, and make their appointment. Asking citizens to refrain from calling our phone bank from appointments, that allows us to be able to do the more complex transactions by phone. But it's very simple and easy to use your home computer or your tablet, your iPad, or your smartphone to go epcdrives.com and select an appointment, and that way you have a secured slot, and we can do it in a way that we don't have packed groups of people in our waiting area and keep everybody safe.
And just so our listeners know, these DMV services that are offered don't include such things as first-time permits or driving tests, correct?
Correct, yeah. Driver's license services are a function of the Department of Revenue. Now, one thing that our office has done for about 12 years is we've done the renewal of driver's licenses, but the first-time issuance, if you've got a juvenile, a young child that's now 16 and wants to get their permit and then get their license to drive, that's a state function, and that's, you need to go to the State Department of Revenue, Colorado Department of Revenue. They're on Van Buren and Union. Make an appointment with them for that first-time students. I know a number of the third-party driver's license services, the drive testing and the drive learning opportunities are out there. So you might want to avail yourself of Master Drive and some of the others that are out there that specialize in that to get those services done, you know, outside of what the Colorado Department of Revenue does.
And let's talk about these self-service kiosks, because I've done my tabs at them. Talk about a stress reliever to be able to walk up to one of those and take care of it all without, you know, having to wait for your number to be called. Although I know that you effort to get those lines taken care of early. But tell us about those.
Yes, that's been something that we've been doing for 3 years. We're the pioneer in the state of Colorado with those kiosks. We have them in our four motor vehicle offices. We have them at our Powers and Airport location. We have them at our Citizen Service Center, which is on Garden the Gods Road. We have a 24/7 machine that's at Union and Research. And we've had those, and they've become very popular. But we've partnered with King Supers, and we've been rolling out additional ones. We have one at the Stetson Hills and Powers, King Supers. We have one on the Mark Shuffle and Constitution, King Supers, the new marketplace, King Supers out on the east side of town. The Baptist Road, King Supers has a 24/7 kiosk that's over by checkout station 16 and 17. Austin Bluffs and Academy, that King Supers has a kiosk. And starting in the middle of next month, not yet, but middle of July, we're opening one at Uinta Gardens. So a few more weeks, and that one on the west side of town will be opening up. And those ones that are at King Supers, they're open from the hours that King Supers is open. So another opportunity for you to perform services without having come into our office, keeping yourself safe. We're seeing 6,000 to 7,000 people a month that utilizes them, and it's very convenient and it's safe and allows us in our motor vehicle office to do those more complex title and registration transactions in a safe way.
Now, when you're talking 6,000 or 7,000, was that prior to all of this? Do you expect to see a bump in the number of people who will be tapping into those?
We have been seeing, it seems like every month it gets to be a bit more popular. We have also the online services that have been growing leaps and bounds. So it's something that for the last year and a half, we've been offering people. If they go to mydmv.colorado.gov, that's mydmv.colorado.gov, you can do a number of, there's 35 different transactions that you can do online, and that's been very positive. We were seeing about 90 to 100 transactions in El Paso County a day, people using those online services. Now we're seeing well over 200, 210, 230, 250 people a day using those online services. Just another way that people, I think, are starting to recognize how they'd like to interact with government, do it in a virtual way, do it in a safe way. They can skip the lines and get their necessary services conducted in a safe way.
When you're talking about those online services, I think I was utilizing, I had to go in person, unfortunately, but I saw a couple, an older couple, and they were coming by and saw the long line, and they did not realize that you could do just a simple renewal online for their driver's license. And I was able to give them the website just because I had it handy. And talk about relief, because, you know, we don't want our particularly vulnerable older citizens to be having to go out in big crowds. So what a service and opportunity that provides for them.
Yeah, most certainly. So the state of Colorado, prior to this COVID crisis, and this is how they're being responsive to the needs out there, when you were over 60, you needed to come in and do that. And what they did is they now allow our more seasoned citizens to use the online services, so they don't have to come in every time. So it's been a big relief for those that are, like you said, Shannon, is our most vulnerable.
And do they need to be prepared to, like, use a card at some of those kiosks? Is that the best way to do a transaction? It's not a cash transaction.
There's a couple ways. So the ones in King Supers do not take cash. The ones in our offices are 24/7 at Union and Research, can take cash. They can take credit cards, debit cards, and checks even. The ones that are in office, they can do cash, but the ones in the King Supers by check, credit card, or debit card only.
Okay. Well, let's just want to reiterate some of the things we've been talking about, the expansion of in-person services, as well as kiosks and online services that are available for your clerk and recorder business that we know so many of you may need to conduct. So once again, if you want to find out more about this, website of Chuck Borman's office is carclerkandrecorder.elpasoco.com. If you'd like to schedule an appointment for one of the offices, you can go to epcdrives.com. If you'd like to find out information, you can ask questions at 719-520-6240. And then finally, for online motor vehicle and driver's license services, go to mydmv.colorado.gov. Well, that is some of what we want to talk about. But next, we want to talk about the election coming up, the primary election coming up, the ballots for which you probably have either in your stack of mail or are in your mailbox right now. Those need to be going back so that your ballot can be counted for the primary election on June 30th. So we're going to be talking to Chuck Brormans more about that, as well as recording documents that may be important to you or a transaction that you're conducting. We've got El Paso County Clerk and Recorder Chuck Brormans on the line today on The Extra. Keep on listening. We'll be right back. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, people, and topics that are important to you. And today we are focusing on all the topics that are emanating from the El Paso County Clerk and Recorder's Office. We have on the line Chuck Brorman, who is that elected officer. I have to say, Mr. Brorman, that you embody the spirit of a public servant so well, the heart of a public servant, because you always want to get the most critical information out to those people who can be benefit from the services that El Paso County offers.
Well, thank you, Shannon, and your partnership in allowing us to come bring our office to you and tell people more about how they can do so in a way that is ease of use and in a safe environment during this COVID crisis. It's been a great partnership, and I appreciate all that you guys do at KRDO to get the word out.
Well, and we want to get the word out about the primary election. The deadline to get those ballots back is 7 p.m. June 30th. We're going to get to that in a moment. But first, also, another part of your title is recorder, and
yep,
recording services have been, I'm guessing, also impacted by the coronavirus situation. So what's the situation now with those services?
It is. And you know, we just like in motor vehicle, you can make an appointment to come into our office. We're just providing recording services at our Citizen Service Center on West Garden of the Gods Road. We're allowing our motor vehicle offices that are, you know, trying to catch up on that backlog of customers to focus just on motor vehicle and driver's license services. So the one office where you can do recording services in person by appointment is on our location at West Garden, the Gods Road. And they can set an appointment by going to our website, the El Paso County Clerk and Recorder's website, and making an appointment just like they can for driver's license and motor vehicle. They can do that for recording, or they can call our office at 520-6200. That's 520-6200, and make an appointment. So if you need to get a document recorded, a deed, you want to get a copy of a deed release, record a lien, those type of things, we're doing that by appointment. If someone just needs a copy of their marriage license, they can call that number, 520-6200, and we can take your request over the phone. We're doing business by e-check or by a credit card or debit card over the phone, and we'll mail that copy to you. Marriages, the governor's executive order during this time has allowed us something that we hadn't been able to do before, and that's where you can go and conduct your marriage license over the phone. So you can do that now electronically and not have to actually come in the office. You can do that by application on our website, send it in, and then we can get that back out to you without having to come in to get that marriage license.
Save you a trip to the big scary office. Now you just have the big scary walk down the aisle to deal with.
There you go. Hopefully not scary.
Not so scary. All right. Well, let's talk about those primary elections because the votes, the ballots have been sent out. And if you're like me, a lot of people I know probably put it on the counter with the pile of mail and maybe forgetting about it. So what's your advice to folks right now?
Yeah, ballots went out 2 weeks ago. We have a little over a week to go. Next Tuesday, June 30th, is the primary election. There's still time to vote, but today is the last day that we're telling citizens, you know, to return it by mail. After today, because all of our mail goes up to Denver to the general mail facility, gets processed and comes back, after today, it gets a little tight on the timeline to get it back to us in time to be counted. It's not enough that it's postmarked. By state law, you have to have that ballot into us and has to be in our hands by 7 p.m. And so after today, it's really advisable for people to vote, to return that ballot, one of our 35 convenient drop boxes. We have steadily increased the number of drop boxes. We added 19 since last November. So we have a total of 35, many, many opportunities. There's a drop box near you, I'm sure just within a couple blocks probably, or on your way to work or school or church or shopping or stuff. There's a convenient drop box that you can pull up to and drop off your ballot.
Now, one of the things people need to be aware of, though, is this issue that's cropped up, it seems like just in recent elections, of ballot harvesting. Can you describe what that is and why we need to be aware of it?
Yeah, we've seen that several places in the country, and it's unfortunately bad actors, both the Democratic and Republican operatives, would go door to door offering to pick up your ballot and drop it off. And, you know, Shannon, we make it so easy. You know, there's a convenient box someplace for you to do that. And, you know, nefarious reasons, people may not return that ballot back to us. Hopefully they're doing it as a public service, but be careful with who you give your ballot over to. You know, if you got a friend or a neighbor or a family member that you can trust that said, hey, I'll drop this ballot off with you at either the post office or one of our drop boxes, you know, that's fine. You know, that ballot has your name and address, and it has the signature on the back of it, and that's personal, information. And, you know, use that convenience of the drop box, the security of our drop box. Only us sees that information. If someone comes to your door and you don't know who they are and they're offering to take your ballot and drop it off, I would be concerned. I would utilize the other services to make sure that your vote is heard in a safe way.
Right, because they're strangers. You don't know really what they're up to or why they're offering that.
Exactly. In this day and age of identity theft and stuff like that, you know, I think it's best to use the box.
Mm-hmm. And in this day and age, when we're talking about being in the midst and smack dab really in the middle still of the first wave, some people say, of the coronavirus epidemic, we want to know, you know, what your office is doing to offer protections. We're going to be talking to Chuck Brewerman about that, about COVID-19 pandemic protections that have been implemented. That is coming your way after the break, as well as key information on where to go if you have questions about your voter registration or why your ballot didn't come. All that will be answered in the coming minutes. But first, we need to take a short break for messages. We're on the phone with with El Paso County's clerk and recorder, Chuck Brewerman. You're listening to KRDO's The Extra. Welcome back to The Extra, the show connecting you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And, of course, the issue of the election of 2020. 2020 is going to be one that impacts each and every one of us. And right now we are on the phone with El Paso County Clerk and Recorder Chuck Broerman, and one of his offices functions and responsibilities is making sure the election goes okay. So before the break, we were talking about ballot harvesting, which is where there's a bad actor who perhaps preys on people by pretending that they're going to take your ballot and drop it off at a drop-off location, but in reality, they don't. That's ballot harvesting, so I want to make sure that you only drop off your ballots in person, mail them in, or give it to a trusted friend or relative. But also, that's a bad actor. What about this bad pandemic, this bad virus? Chuck Broerman, I know that you've been implementing a lot of precautionary measures. Tell us about them to keep your workers and the public safe.
Sure. We're implementing, you know, we've worked closely with the Public Health Department and Dr. Leon Kelly on setting up criteria on how we can keep our election staff, our election judges, and our citizens, our voters, in a safe way. You know, the method by which Colorado votes, we're a hybrid mail ballot system where 97-98% of voters vote that ballot in the security and safety of their home. They're mailed a ballot 3 weeks before the election, and then they can return that either by the mail or our drop boxes that we had mentioned in the earlier segment. Shannon, we've already had about 18% of voters return ballots so far, 68,000.
That's great.
I think somewhere around 164,000 will return ballots by Tuesday night of next week. What we're doing is, you know, besides having worked with Public Health Department on best practices, we have written safety procedures that we've written for each of our jobs that our election judges carries out. It involves personal protective equipment. They're giving training about how to make sure that they keep their work areas cleaned and wiped down after each time a person comes to register to vote or to vote. We have a compliance judge that we have hired and who will go through and ensure and inspect that all throughout the day that we're doing things in the best and the most safe way from a health standpoint. And then they're working on cleaning that voting booth after a voter leaves it or that intake station after a voter comes up to it. We're keeping that 6-foot distancing. We've moved all our tables, our intake stations 6 feet apart. We've looked at voter service and polling centers that are larger in nature that can handle an expanded number of people so that we can have that spacing in the lines or at the voting booths. We have hand sanitizer at the entrance of our vote centers. We have them at the intake stations where you're working with our staff members. So just a number of things that we are doing to keep everybody safe as humanly possible and still make sure people have the right to enjoy their franchise, to have their vote be heard.
Right. And, you know, the civic duty that you may feel is, I think, expanded when you go and vote in person. But keep in mind that cutting down on your exposure is also something you can do that can be a civic duty. So mailing them in or dropping them off is probably preferential, especially this year. Let's talk about some locations of voter service and polling centers that are opening today, I understand.
Yes. So we have a total of 6. We're required by state statute to have 5. We have 6. So we're opening up additional ones there again to make sure that we have that spacing, that security. So we have the Citizen Service Center on Garden of the Gods Road that's open. Our Powers and Airport office location that has motor vehicle services on the second floor. We have an elevator there that takes citizens up there. They can vote there. Our downtown branch office, Centennial Hall. The Citadel Mall is a vote center, and on the Citadel Mall, you'll enter by the food court on the north side of the Citadel Mall, and there's signage and stuff that will take you to the area where we're having our vote center. Also, the Chapel Hills Mall, that again is on the north side of the Chapel Hills Mall. It's in the unit that used to be Gordman's, and then before that was JCPenney's. Mm-hmm. That's a 40,000 square foot. That is actually the biggest vote center in in the state. So very expansive there. Our union and research motor vehicle office, you can vote there. And then next week on Election Day, Monday and Tuesday, we're opening up two additional locations. One's at the Fountain Library for our citizens that are on, live on the south part of El Paso County, and then Vista Grande Baptist Church, which is on Stetson Hills and Powers, to handle people that Falcon area,
right.
The northeastern part of El Paso County.
Really covering the distance, really. And at those vote centers, what can an eligible voter do?
Well, you can register to vote. If you have not registered to vote, you moved into the community or hadn't participated in election, you can register for the first time. In Colorado, we allow people to register to vote up to including on Election Day. If you mismarked your ballot, you can get a replacement one, or if you spill that morning coffee or bowl of cereal on it, you can get a replacement ballot. If you need to change your address, update your address, you can do that there. Or you can vote in person. You like that community experience, we'll register you to vote. We'll give you your ballot, and then you can go to one of the booths and vote. And then after you leave, you know, they'll wipe everything down so it's safe for the next person. So we'll have a total of 8 locations by next week, Monday and Tuesday. 3 more than what we're required by law, but we want to do that to, one, make it convenient for folks and keep citizens safe at the same time.
Right, and we should remind everyone there are certain things you need to do before you're dropping off any ballot. And what's that?
Well, it's important, you know, that we need you to sign the back of your ballot envelope.
So simple.
Every year we encourage people, every election we encourage people to make sure they sign it. But for some reason, we're seeing a little bit of an uptick this year of people forgetting to sign the back of the ballot. And we use that signature to verify that is you and not someone else. We have a machine that checks your signature, verify that it's you. It's compared to past records that we have on file. And we also have a team of election judges that are also checking those. So that signature is important for us to be able to cast your ballot. You know, in a primary, if you're a Republican voter, you've got the Republican slate of candidates to vote on. If you're a Democrat, you will get the Democrat slate. However, if you're an unaffiliated voter, state law changed back in 2018, you get
both ballots, but you can just turn in one.
Yeah, you can only return one, because it's only permissible by state law. Actually, it's in our state constitution that you can vote only in one of the two primaries. So make sure you return just the one. If you vote both and return both, that will disqualify your vote, and we don't want that to happen. Make sure you sign the back of your ballot envelope. Make sure you sign your envelope, not your spouse's or neighbor, not your neighbor, but anyone else that lives in your household, you know, your son or daughter's ballot envelope. Make sure you return your ballot in your ballot envelope and that you sign it. And make sure you only return the one ballot.
Chuck Broerman, El Paso County Clerk and Recorder, with important information as we are nearing the deadline to get those ballots in. Remember, today's the deadline. If you want to send it in by mail, do it today. Mr. Broerman, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio.